This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing, hosting its 22nd anniversary celebration and the grand opening of Gazelle Full Circle Resale, also featuring 100% natural fiber clothing for women and men. Both events run June 16th through 25th. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont. Information at 503-288-3422.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Next up, it's Democracy Now!
Then in Israel, 9 Palestinians are killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza just days after an explosion killed 8 civilians on a beach. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert defends the military.
I reject totally all attempts to harm the morality of the Israeli Defense Forces. The IDF is the most moral army in the world, which had never directed a policy of harming innocent civilians and is not doing so today.
And confronting confinement, a scathing report on America's prisons. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Federal prosecutors have decided not to charge President Bush's top advisor, Karl Rove, with any crimes in the outing of CIA operative Valerie Plame. No official statement has been made by the prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald. But Rove's attorney says Fitzgerald announced the decision in a letter to him on Monday. Rove had been at the center of the investigation for over 2 years and had been forced to testify on 5 occasions to a federal grand jury on his role in the outing of Plame, who was the wife of the Iraq War critic, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. To date, only one person in the Bush administration has been indicted in the leak case, Lewis Scooter Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff. We'll have more on the decision after headlines. There have been a number of major developments in Gaza and the West Bank. Earlier today, an Israeli airstrike in Gaza killed as many as 9 Palestinians, including 2 children. According to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, 7 of the dead were civilians, 2 were members of the militant group Islamic Jihad. The Israel Defense Forces claim the militants were on their way to fire rockets at Israel. Yasser Abed Rabo of the Palestinian Legislative Council condemned the Israeli missile strike.
This is an attempt by Israel to create a cycle of violence and to attract retaliation from the Palestinian armed group. We think that this cycle of violence is not in the interest of any party.
Meanwhile, infighting is intensifying between the 2 major Palestinian factions, Fatah and Hamas. On Monday, supporters of Hamas attacked the offices of Fatah-dominated security services in Gaza City. 2 died and 15 others were injured. Then in the West Bank city of Ramallah, hundreds of security personnel loyal to Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas stormed the building which houses the Hamas-led parliament and set it ablaze. We'll have more from the occupied territories later in the program. The Bush administration requested a federal judge Monday to dismiss a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union over the government's warrantless domestic surveillance program. Monday marked the first time a lawsuit over the National Security Agency's program made its way to court. The ACLU asked the court in Detroit to force the NSA to shut down the program. The group maintains President Bush was not authorized by Congress to order the NSA to begin eavesdropping on Americans. The ACLU also believes the president violated the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that forbids surveillance of people inside the United States without a warrant. Attorneys from the Justice Department defended the legality of the program, but told the judge the evidence needs to be demonstrate the lawfulness cannot be disclosed without causing grave harm to national security. After the court hearing, the ACLU's executive director, Anthony Romero, called the government's invocation of the state secrets privilege Orwellian doublespeak. Romero said, quote, "They argued essentially the NSA program was off limits to judicial review." In Iraq, at least 18 people have died in a series of 5-car bomb attacks in the oil-rich city of Kirkuk. Another 40 people were injured. Meanwhile, in Baquba, a U.S. raid has left 9 people dead, including 2 children. The military claimed the raid targeted men with ties to senior al-Qaeda leaders in Iraq. But local residents accused the U.S. of killing civilians. Tensions between British troops and Shia Iraqis in the province of Naysan are escalating. On Sunday, the provincial council suspended all cooperation with the British forces after clashes left 5 people dead. The council accused the British troops of injuring old men, women, and children. In other news, the U.S. military has revealed Abu Musab al-Zarqawi remained alive for nearly an hour after a U.S. airstrike hit a safe house where he was staying. The military initially claimed Zarqawi died in the strike. The autopsy showed Zarqawi stayed alive for 52 minutes after the first blast and 24 minutes after U.S. forces arrived at the scene. The U.S. is denying reports from Iraqi witnesses that Zarqawi died after a U.S. soldier stepped on his chest. Meanwhile, several Islamic internet sites have announced an Egyptian man named Abu Hamza al-Muhajir has been selected to be Zarqawi's successor as the head of the group that calls itself al-Qaeda of Iraq. Global military spending has reached a new record high of over $1.1 trillion. The United States accounts for nearly half the world's military spending. According to the report by the Stockholm Institute Peace Research Institute, the United States spent $1,600 on its military for every American. Meanwhile, China spent just $31 per person. India spends less than $19 per person. The study also determined military spending is actually decreasing in Europe, with the biggest cuts recorded in England and Spain. 27 religious leaders, including megachurch pastor Rick Warren and Cardinal Theodore McCarrick of Washington, have signed a statement urging the United States to abolish torture now without exceptions. The group's statement appears in a series of newspaper ads bought by the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. The statement reads in part, quote, "Nothing less is at stake in the torture abuse crisis than the soul of our nation." Meanwhile, the Bush administration is once again rejecting calls to shut down the Guantanamo Bay prison following the suicide of 3 men on Saturday. This is State Department spokesperson Sean McCormick.
Look, we have no desire to be the world's jailers. We would look forward to the day at some point when Guantanamo Bay would close down. But the fact of the matter is that it right now houses some very dangerous people who are a threat not only to American citizens, but other people around the world.
Meanwhile, in Washington, the Center for Constitutional Rights held a news conference condemning the administration's treatment of prisoners at the military base. This is attorney Gitanjali Gutierrez.
It does seem that the administration will continue to try and put a spin on this when I think it's very simple and very clear what's happened. We are holding human beings in indefinite detention with complete uncertainty about their fate, under conditions that are stressful and oppressive. There is a reason why our Constitution enshrines the writ of habeas corpus. There is a reason why the Magna Carta incorporated the right to challenge the imprisonment by the king. And it's because that kind of detention leads to the exact results we saw this week, in a kind of desperation and futility that would make someone rather die than continue to be held like that.
In Britain, a group of Islamic organizations are condemning Scotland Yard's handling of last week's terror raid in East London. In June, 250 officers raided the homes of 2 brothers of Bangladeshi ancestry at 4 in the morning. At the time, the police accused the men of plotting a chemical weapons attack. One of the brothers, Mohammed Abdul Kahar, was shot during the raid. Both men were held for a week, interrogated, and then freed without charge after police failed to find any evidence to hold them. Human rights attorney Gareth Pierce said the family would be launching a legal action for damages against the police commissioner. The U.S. Senate is expected to vote as early as today on the nomination of Richard Stickler to head the Mine Safety and Health Administration. The United Mine Workers and AFL-CIO have opposed the nomination of the former coal industry executive. Mine Workers President Cecil Roberts said, quote, "Too often these mining executives place priority on productivity but fail to focus on miners' health and safety." According to the United Mine Workers, the mines Stickler managed from 1989 to 1996 at injury rates that were double the national average. Union leaders have also criticized Stickler for declining to endorse new mine safety rules. This included those passed by the West Virginia legislature in January following the Sago explosion that killed 12 miners. And in Florida, more than 20,000 people have been ordered to evacuate along the Gulf of Mexico as the first tropical storm of the hurricane season, Alberto, made landfall this morning. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.